Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Steph Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And y'all, it's spooky season. Happy spooky season.
Yes.
Or soup season. Or both.
Both.
Yeah. Yes, both. And you know what that means for our Feminist Movie Friday. That's right. Either we're doing something spooky or something traumatizing, or hey, maybe both. We love both.
Also,
well, yes. Yeah. I think for this one, it's both. And we're also leaning more into just, wait, what? Like, that's kind of how I feel at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Before we start, spoilers ahead, as it was only released in 2022, but is now available on Shudder, which has become the go-to streaming network for all of horror movie needs. Not a sponsor at this current time, just FYI, but it just turns out to be that way. Because it's literally a horror movie channel. So,
yep.
You know, if you didn't know. And we're talking about the movie Sissy, an Australian independent horror movie written and directed by Hannah Barlow and Kane Scenes. And by the way, Barlow also plays the role of Emma, the long lost best friend within the movie. But before we get into that, content warning, lots of blood, gore, all the things, death, mental health, violence, and bullying. Surprisingly, not much sexual stuff in this, which is rare for a horror movie, independent horror movie, I feel like. So, you know, I appreciate that. It's just straight gore. Here you go.
Yep. Here you go. Yeah, I saw this movie. I mean, I've just seen whatever I could find now, but it came up on so many lists.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kept reading the description and it's like, oh, I feel like this might hit too close to home. And then I eventually was like, no, I got to watch it. And it stuck with me. I will tell you that. It stuck with me.
Right. I think when I brought up this as a possibility, your response was, oh, I have things to say about that. It's interesting. Yeah. And that's what I got.
Yep. Which we'll talk about. I do have things to say about it.
I'm excited to hear it. We purposely did not talk about it, even though we'd watched it a while ago. So the movie, as Annie has mentioned, has topped many lists for its creativity, dark humor, and social commentary. As The Guardian writes, quote, Sissy, a very sassy and diabolically entertaining new Australian horror movie from the director writing team, Hannah Barlow and Kane Scenes, puts in its satirical crosshairs two things once believed to be good for humankind, but now widely regarded as evidence of our continued descent into self-inflicted destruction. Social media and the wellness industry. So that's the critique that I think was like, okay, all right. I guess that's a pretty good introduction to what this movie is. But yeah, it is on top 10 lists and like top for horror movies, especially newer horror movies. And Rotten Tomatoes have a really high rating, just an FYI. So let's get into the plot. Are you ready? The movie opens with a scene of Cecilia, played by Aisha Dee, recording a wellness session for her social media page where she has over 200,000 followers. We see a preview of her life as an influencer who thrives off the likes and comments of her followers.
And then we soon meet Emma, who Cecilia runs into at a pharmacy, kind of tries to avoid, but runs into. It's been years since they had met, and Cecilia is obviously very uncomfortable, but that doesn't stop her from going to the engagement party that Emma invites her to. And then at this engagement party, we meet Fran, Emma's fiance, and all of Emma's friends. And while there, Emma and Cecilia get to sing their old song, and a very drunken Emma invites Cecilia to her hen party, or bachelorette party. After Cecilia reminisces about her pastimes with Emma via childhood films that they made when she was called Sissy, she decides to go.
Right. So here we meet Emma and Fran's friends, Jamie and Tracy, who all get into a van together for their hen weekend. Cecilia agrees to drive, being one of the only people who can drive a stick, which is a problem. I can't drive a Can you drive a stick?
Yeah.
Oh.
I could at one time. It's been like...
Oh, yeah. You can't drive at all. So, like, you do.
Yeah.
But you're afraid to.
But at one time, I would say pretty good at it. Okay. But it's probably been a decade since I've done it. So I don't know if it would just, like, come back or not.
I'm sure it would. But, yeah I can't drive a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
I just did a hand motion, but, yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I get you.
Okay, good.
But yeah, so Cecilia ends up driving. And during that drive, we find out that there's another person who will be joining the party, the maid of honor, Alex. And we also find out that there's a long sordid history between Alex and Emma and Cecilia. But of course, there has to be an ominous scene of running over an animal, a kangaroo in this case, which they had to put down. So it was a real gory scene that I was like, ugh. Mm-hmm. When they all arrive at their very fancy home in the woods, we meet Alex, who is very unhappy to see Cecilia. Cecilia is not so happy either. But she's yeah. more like, oh no, I'm so sorry type of thing. As where Alex is angry. Mm-hmm. But they seem to have moved on. Of course, this is not the case. During dinner, they discuss Cecilia's job as a wellness influencer, which quickly becomes awkward with everyone criticizing Cecilia and Alex even berating her for being fake. BT dubs Fran is actually a psychologist, and they talk about the fact that she's getting her doctorate, and so that comes out. It's like, awkward.
It is very awkward. I'm telling you, dinner scenes are the new, like, horror.
It kind of is, and especially the point of view. Someone was talking about the way they did the cinematography, very reminiscent of, like, old school 70s films, where it's very pointed and awkward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that night, Cecilia has a nightmare about Alex confronting her about the past and about the scar on her face. Cecilia soon wakes up to find that everyone has gone to the creek slash river where she is told to join. When she arrives, she hears them talking about her past, about how Cecilia had attacked Alex, and everyone claims that Cecilia is canceled. Soon we find out the story. In their childhood, Alex and Emma had become close, and Alex bullied Cecilia, calling her a sissy, and told Cecilia that she was not Emma's best friend, but that Alex was her best friend, and that Emma even purposely left her out of her birthday party. And then we see that Emma is given the heart best friend necklace by Alex. And after much taunting by Alex, young Cecilia stabs her in the face with a trowel, which ends the friendship with Emma. After everyone leaves the River Creek area, except Alex, Alex taunts Cecilia, who she knew was listening. And they have this huge confrontation after it is discovered that Alex stole Cecilia's phone and tried to expose Cecilia, basically posting on her wellness social media to all of her followers. Cecilia bashes Alex on the head with a stone crystal thing, which begins... Here we get to the horror of it all.
I mean, we see flashes of things, but like this is the beginning, of course. From there, we're just going to go down the road, down the chain of list of deaths. Mm-hmm. We see Jamie, who accidentally stumbles onto Alex's body. Then he runs away from Cecilia. But because he has to go to the edge of the cliff, you know, that's obviously where you're going to end up. Cecilia talks to him. He starts yelling. She pushes him off the cliff. poor Jamie, there he goes. Then she returns to the house where Tracy finds Cecilia in the house. At that point, Tracy's getting scared. Tracy falls into the bathtub, gets her hair stuck in the drain, which is like, what? That's not even a thing, but okay. And is both scalped and drowned. I was like, wow, yep. That was unnecessary. Okay. Mm-hmm. Later, we find out that Alex isn't dead, but she does have brain damage. So while Alex calls the police after finding a phone, she isn't able to speak, but is able to get a hold of someone and scream into the phone. Mm-hmm. And that's where we kind of end that with we have a comedic scene with the police, with the doofus police, I guess, who's trying to find out where she is or who she is. Mm-hmm. We move on to poor Fran, who gets lost after falling asleep in the woods, and where we see Cecilia. So at this point, she's like, I'm going to leave, taking the car, but finds Fran, picks her up, and goes on about how she's going to lose Emma, which she's already lost. To Alex, but now she's going to lose Emma to Fran and to the United States because they're going to move together to the U.S. She deliberately crashes the car after Fran can't buckle her seatbelt because it's stuck, throwing Fran out the window and then running her over, much like the kangaroo scene.
Yes, because Fran was the one that was like, you need to run over the kangaroo's head. It's mercy. Humane.
Yeah.
Yeah, which interestingly, the movie that just came out, Talk to Me, has a very similar scene.
Oh, really? I feel like there's a few scenes like this where they just grotesquely run over heads.
But there was a kangaroo in Talk to Me. I don't know.
They just really don't like kangaroos. I guess deers are the U.S. and then the kangaroo would be the Australian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cecilia returns to the house where she beats herself up and passes out. And is later awakened by Emma, who made it back to the house after almost drowning and being swept down the river. Soon she discovers Tracy's body hidden under the bed and figures out what happened, including the fact that Cecilia has probably killed Fran. Unfortunately for Emma, she gets knocked out and wakes up to being tied to a chair where Cecilia is playing the childhood videos, dyeing Emma's hair pink, like in the videos, doing her nails. But soon Emma gets free and starts beating up Cecilia, after she's called the cops about people dying, but not about who has done it, of course. Then Alex walks in, who is still confused from the head injury and mistakes Emma for Cecilia and beats Emma to death. After realizing her mistake, she turns to Cecilia, but is shot by cops who think that she is the culprit.
Right. So later we come to the end scene of Cecilia doing her newest video. And apparently I missed this part. I guess I had kind of like checked out for a second, where she did a live during the whole messy ordeal, blaming Alex and pleading for her followers' help. Mm-hmm. And she thanks her followers. This is the worst part of them. Like, what the hell? Yeah. She thanks her followers and says it's because of them that she was able to make it through the Alex Cutis massacre, which she has named, and promotes her latest books and gives away free therapy robes, which is a thing that happens throughout the movie, for all her followers.
Yep.
And that's how it ends. So the beginning and the end, it begins and ends the same way, with the same pink backdrop and very, like, wellness, meditative state. So, end movie.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no. And I know we're going to talk about it, but, like, that, the kind of veneer of social media and what people post, and especially, like, in wellness social media. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
So we're going to go ahead and go into the themes of it. Of course, the first and foremost is friendships. And I really like the best friend conundrum. This is what I call it, because I think every girl has gone through this, where they've had to compete with someone, or there's been a battle to who is the best friend in the group.
Yes. And I had two kind of big ones in my life. And one, it actually devolved into a shouting match between two other people. I was sort of the like new best friend, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the other person walked away and like issued an ultimatum. And I was like, we're 9 years old. This is very intense. And then another one, this girl, it was like third or fourth grade. We were pitted against each other academically, which is a thing schools do in purposefully in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I got the higher grade. And eventually she like came up to me and said, I am no longer your friend. This is over. I don't like you anymore. And she was more popular than me. So then I got kind of the like fallout from all the other popular girls.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I was kind of oblivious. I was like, okay.
That's the best way to be.
Guess we're done.
Yeah, I had a few like that, except I had the best friend do that to me and try to compete, make us compete to be her friends type of thing. And I was like, this is weird. No, I'm good. After some of the anxiety of like, oh no, I said the wrong thing. I was like, I'm over this because this is silly. I'm good. I think I had an incident as an adult, full grown adult, where I don't think best friends was even a thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm odd. Like, I think of best friends as an old school term. So, like, literally when you're children. But then, like, you grow up, and if that's a title and you're still close, that title remains. So, like, that's not a thing. But as you get older, the friend groups change and you meet new people. I don't think of that as a thing anymore, maybe. Maybe that's just me being like, eh, who's this? Because I want to be close to people in different ways, and people need different needs and all these things. And my best friend could be someone that I don't talk to for, or like someone that I'm closest to, but maybe someone I don't talk to for months. But then when we get back together, it's perfect. Like, there's nothing, like, time hasn't gone by type of thing. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, you make new friends kind of thing. And some people will click and you hang out more. And this happened with this friend. Actually, everybody would know her. But like, we got close and we had a lot in common, had the best time, all these things. And And the third party was like, you know, you stole so-and-so from so-and-so. I was like, very confused. I was like, what? In that, she's like, well, I mean, y'all hang out and you do this and you don't invite this person. And we were like, and I'm in my 30s at this point. I'm in my 30s. And that happened. And I was like, what is happening? And what was very different was the fact that they had, A, gotten married. They had moved on to a new job. I think they were trying to get pregnant at this point. So they were kind of in a different space. And so we would invite them, but it's not that easy to do last minute trips, which would happen, or last minute hangs, or all these things. And it was just an odd, like, being told that I stole someone at 30 years old. I was like, is she not her own self? Like, does she not have autonomy? Because I'm not telling her to not hang out with this person, because I could care less. Like, I don't understand. But that has happened to me. Actually, that happened to me twice. Because if they told me something before that other person, they got very upset. And in my head, I'm like, what? That's the thing?
Yeah.
So to see that, I'm like, yeah, that is real. And that's actually a great premise for a horror movie. Murder
really
movie,
is.
I guess.
It really is. Because, I mean, you know, we love talking about the positivity of female friendship on this show. It's one of our favorite things. But it is true that there's toxicity as well. And I think when you're younger, the best friend role is much more, it is one person. I feel like when I got older, I was kind of like, you're all up here.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But when you're younger, it's like, oh, I'm this person's best friend. And anyone who comes in, you're like, oh, no. Oh, what if they're moving on? And you have all these things with that, like adolescence and people start dating and it just feels like, oh, no, we're not going to be the same as it was. And I had that. Yeah, I had that, too, of people kind of just being mad that I guess I made new friends.
Right. Right. And yeah, that's one of the other themes, like the jealous girl. The hating on each other for no reason. The fact that they jumped in with like, yeah, she's awful. She's canceled. She's these things. Don't get me wrong. Wellness influencers who are not educated and degreed and are in this professional industry, I'm a little weird when it comes to them. I'm like, oh, do you know what you're doing and or are you causing more damage? So that in itself is like, I could probably understand that. I think I would stand with the side of Fran of being interested and cautious, but being outright malicious and mean, I was like, wow, y'all are like just hating on her for no reason. And to the point that they were jealous and then at the same time wanting her connections, at the same time being like, oh, but, because of course they had to throw in Chris Hemsworth there as a name. So I thought that was interesting. And then like the jealousy among friends, like I said, like they're all like, oh, you have these followers or whatever, whatnot. But then we also have Alex, who is obviously very rich, that rich trope, and was able to give things to Emma. So you're like, wait, like give this fancy house as like the hen party, making this like over the top dinner and all these things. Like you also had that. And then obviously Alex was jealous of Sissy and was pushing her away and making sure that she knew she was outcast.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a good point about it is because there's this big study that happened years and years ago. So grain of salt with it. But it was talking about how in female friendships specifically, there's sort of always a organizing of power. Mm-hmm. Like who has the power in this based on looks or based on money or based on job, like all of that stuff. And that was definitely on display here of like kind of this constant awareness and fighting for power and putting people down to make yourself feel more powerful. And I think that is, it's also as I've gotten older, I feel this less. I feel like in college, that was a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. As I've gotten older, that's gotten less. But I also have been taken aback sometimes when a friend who completely legitimately will be like, why didn't you invite me to this? Or why didn't you think of me to this? And seeing it as more of a slight, whereas I, maybe like you, was just like, oh, I was busy or it just sort of happened this way. Or it wasn't any like personal, oh, I don't want her to come. But that over time can, it didn't in this situation, but it can build up into we are not friends anymore.
Right, right.
And you might not, unless you talk about it, you might not know that that's happening.
Right. Right, yeah. It's very obvious, which leads into the other theme of here, of the bullying, which I think caused the entire, I came out and told you immediately, I was like, I had no sympathy for any of them. I think the most sympathy I had was for Fran, who was just there, who was just trying to be with her fiance. Like, I was like, oh, and was really kind of caring to everyone. Like, she never really was negative necessarily to Cecilia, as in fact was like, you know, friendship, or people are like stars, you come and go when it's time, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's very sweet. Because I was like, are you being mean to her?
Mm-hmm.
But she was being very sweet in that, and she's good friends with Alex, she's good friends with all of them. She wasn't, like, she was skeptical, but she wasn't mean about the whole, her being a wellness person, all these things. Like, even when they were trash-talking her for stabbing the girl in the face, she was still nice. Kind of in that. So it was like, okay, this is where I'm like, oh yeah, Cecilia, you bad. This is the one. And that was the one she truly killed. Like the rest of them, she let down. Well, no, I guess Jamie, she did push off. So never mind on that one. But you know what I mean? In that level of like this is an opportunity. She found an opportunity to kill Fran. So, because she was actually jealous and she says that out loud.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, huh, that's the only character I kind of had sympathy for. But for the rest of them, I was like, yeah, I don't have sympathy for the main character. I don't have the sympathy for Alex. She's an awful person. So I don't care, because you see, there's no good light for Alex. She is the villain, I feel like, even though Cecilia is the villain. But like, she is a villain in this whole thing as well.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting, because normally with a horror movie like this, when you're getting a setup, because early on, you know, something went horribly wrong with this relationship. You get these hints and you're like, oh, what is it? What is it? And normally in a movie like this, it would be, oh, Alex was a bully. Cecilia did this thing that she regrets, but hurt Alex in kind of self-defense. And you feel for Cecilia. But instead, it does this interesting thing where it's like, okay, Alex was bad, but so is Cecilia.
Right.
Like,
Cecilia.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of could have felt sorry for her, but then it starts dwindling to like, oh, she's not. She's a liar. She's right. She's just in that level.
Yeah, like a liar is a good word. And so it was just interesting, because I feel like a lot of times the setup is you have the bully, the transgressor, you have the bullied, you root for them. She was bullied. Like, I'm not going to take that away from her. But she also was terrible. Like, whether it was from that or not, because the movie doesn't. There's a lot of instances, and I know we're going to talk about this in a second, but there's a lot of instances where you're like, okay, so she's dissociating. She's having this like breakdown mentally, like, but it never explains it other than like the things that you see. Yeah.
Right. Which, yeah, comes into our other theme, mental health, which is, okay, this is that they try to set it up as if she had a dissociative identity disorder. Mm-hmm. But she really doesn't. She just makes her choices and then leans into these things, including the conversation of just being in denial, in which she says, I'm not sissy, I'm not sissy, I'm not sissy, which is a theme, which is why we talked about the fact that she was sissy as a kid. And then growing up, she's like, I'm Cecilia. It's Cecilia, which completely understandable. There are so many things. And especially if you've been bullied with your nickname. So I get that. So they kind of change that in that perspective. So you think for a minute she has dissociative identity disorder and she like blacks out and stabs her in the face, which, by the way, is one of the most gruesome. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then the dream scene where she talks about the scar on Alex, you see her actually put her hand underneath the scar as if like it's still a fresh wound. It was like, yeah, why? But all these things that she also regrets doing that. Is kind of pictures that, but I don't think she does.
No, I think she regrets, and I'm not even sure if that's the right word. She's sad. She's mad. She lost.
Right.
Emma.
Right.
And that was the catalyst of her really losing Emma.
Right.
And like, we didn't even talk about the necklace.
Yeah.
She takes the friendship necklace. Yes.
Which, did you have one of those?
I did.
I did too. I had one of those.
I did too, but I think it was meant for romantic partners. It was like the like broken heart one that you put together.
Yeah, this is the broken heart one for the best friends.
Okay.
Then
maybe not.
Yeah, because mine was the broken heart one that was the best friends, and it wasn't real gold, or it was plated gold. So I think it turned me green or something. I remember.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not really sure who it was from. I'm so sorry. I don't know who the best friend was.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm the worst best friend. But yeah, that necklace was a big key because she took it off because she was jealous. But you could see the difference in gifts from their childhood. Like, obviously, Cecilia didn't have a lot of money, so she got her, like, silly nail polish, which Emma kept the entire time, and like trinkets that she had made, as where Alex comes in with this gold necklace that she got for her. You know, like, it was very obvious. And then all the girls, because there was twins, which, why do they have to have twins? I'm like, that was weird. Twins who help mock Cecilia or Sissy when she's younger, they're all wearing the same dresses. So it kind of like implies that maybe Alex had bought them all dresses to show that they're all like a big group of friends, and Cecilia was not a part of this. So that's interesting to me. But yeah, the whole mental health bit, but like pushing her to that edge, you're kind of like, okay, again, we talked about whether it was DID or it wasn't. And then, but we also see like Emma trying to be nice, but Emma saying like, you wouldn't want to come anyway. So I don't know what that was about. I feel like that was a missed plot point.
A non-invitation.
Yeah, something. And then the back and forth that Alex just keeps calling her crazy, essentially, and a psychopath.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the things that I also really was interested in when I saw it. And I was like, okay, because you see her as this, like you said, it starts out this very idyllic mental health, like wellness thing she's doing for her followers. She has that circle that you make and all of these things. And then as the plot unravels and you see, okay, I mean, like charitably, she is not in a good place.
Right.
There are a lot of indicators that, you know, she's having some kind of like PTSD freezing flashback thing. But it also felt like at sometimes she was just like thinking, oh no, if this gets out,
right,
I'll lose everything.
Right.
And so she was freezing because of that. But to see like, and throughout the movie, she does this. Like she could have just killed someone. She'll like start up the video and do the whole thing and be calm. But I just thought that was really telling about what the social media landscape, how it's so fake a lot of times. It is so like catered to people that you can't trust it. And that's not to say you can't, you know, do these things. And it may be what she was doing was helpful for some people. But behind the scenes, if we had known behind the scenes, we probably wouldn't be watching her videos about wellness.
Right. So the one thing that I thought was interesting with that mental health stuff is that wellness guru versus the therapist, like they purposely put those two together, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if anyone was the good guy in this, again, it would have been Fran. Mm-hmm. Maybe Emma, but at the end, Emma was like, you're kind of cruel. Like, I get you were passive in all of this, but that's still just as bad. But like, I also thought it was interesting because as you were talking about all her little sessions, one being the beginning where she does the hyperventilation thing, which I know is an actual thing. I remember doing this at a yoga session. I almost had a full-fledged panic attack because it was not done correctly, because you do not have a space to teach people what kind of mental place that you have to be in and how to guide that. And if you have a class of literally 50 people, 30 people, and you're not sure what their state is, and you're having them do this, not smart. So having a wellness influencer do this online with 200,000 people viewing or more, is really, really irresponsible. And I think they did that on purpose because I remember thinking as I was watching this, I'm about to have a panic attack. It looks like she's about to have a panic attack too, purposely. Yeah. So I'm like, I think they did that on purpose. I think the filmmakers made you do something that they knew was not oftentimes done incorrectly and oftentimes done without regard to understanding why it's used and when it's used. Which she does that throughout, which I was like, okay, that's the perfect opening scene because you're already panicked if you're paying attention.
Yeah, it just feels wrong. The whole thing just feels off immediately. You're like, oh no. And like going off of that too, I feel like, you know, in a way this makes sense. And one of the reasons I was like, I have stuff to say about this is I worry about this with this show is because we try to be very clear. We're not experts on anything, but we talk about like our own personal experiences and people relate to that. But one of the things she does is I think she thinks she had this trauma as a child and she's been trying to convince herself she's fine and she's made this business out of it, like trying to convince herself she's fine and telling people, you know, ride this rope and it works. So basically like turning her trauma into a profit. Mm-hmm. And then we see that really pay off at the end when she's like, thanks. I survived this thing because of that. You now please go buy my book.
Right.
So I feel like it comes full circle in that way where she is. It starts off with, you know, she has this trauma and you see her and everything feels kind of off. But she's trying to like do this wellness thing. And you just realize, like, oh, no, she does not have this figured out. She does not know what she's doing. And she's sort of just using it, like, her trauma and, like, the wellness part that comes from that to sell stuff and make a business.
And I think they purposely leave out, I don't think she has, it, like, she may have been detained as a Jew or something. They don't really talk about it. And they don't talk about, she doesn't talk about ever going to therapy, ever.
No.
So where did she even learn these things? Which is hilarious to me. Which she had to kind of admit to Fran, who was like, this is my, like, 10th year in school trying to get a doctorate.
trying to figure that out.
But, like, stepping into, I thought this one scene was quite hysterical, but also really, really disturbing. When she's burying Alex, she stops to make a video about how she's digging the dirt and replanting things, like, in order to give back in the sustainability, because she's hiking and ruining the ecosystem. But in actuality, she just thinks that she has killed a person, so she's burying her. And in the middle of it, she's sitting next to it, and you see a mound, and it's literally the body of someone she accidentally killed, that she thinks that she has killed. And she is all covered in dirt and actually blood, but you can't see the blood part the way she's cut it off, which again shows meticulous planning. So, like, she does this whole thing as a video and has all these views and clicks for it.
Right. And it's very, like, she's reframing it into making it this thing she can sell and this thing she can, like, turn around and be positive with. But also, I feel like, yeah, the fact that she cut off all this horror around her again goes back to, like, social media and what we see on social media and how it is so controlled and so like thought out. I mean, the funny version of that is, like, people don't wear pants anymore.
Right.
But the horrible version of that is there's literally blood in a dead body.
Right.
But neither. So,
I mean, it kind of began that way as well. So you see her perfect little room with only the pink wall. And then she walks with all these dirty dishes everywhere. She's just eating pizza from a box and sitting and watching from a very, like, antiqued TV, all the news, all the horrible things going on in the world.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, and it's that part of it, as people in this industry, I was like, oh, no.
Well, I mean, a good example, really sad example right now is someone is coming under fire on TikTok after reporting some misinformation about what's going on in the world and saying, hey, everybody, you can take a break from social media. You can take a break. And everybody else coming like, what the f*** is wrong with you? People are dying. And you're telling people to ignore it. Take care of yourself. Ignore this. This is how you block these. And there's this back and forth of, like, you as an influencer, do you, instead of backtracking and saying, I'm sorry for this, and these are the things that we need to do from all the backlash, just say, take a break. You can take a break. And it's such a, like, divide and divorce from reality. And that they have come under pretty harsh scrutiny, as I think they deserve it. Because as much as we would love to say, let's take a break, and there's a difference from healthy understanding to trying to ignore it and pretending something isn't existing, and who that really affects and the privilege in that. And it's like being so obtuse in a conversation that you do this as a way of gaining more popularity.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing with influencers, is it's such a new media where people can make money. It's not new media, but like, people making money on it is pretty new. And we've talked a lot about the issues with it. I got a big chuckle when I was going on a work trip and they were like, are you an influencer? You have to fill this out. And I was like, I don't think so.
our initial producer, Andrew, said that we were. And I was like, what are you talking about? No, we're not. We're not selling anything. So. We're not on social media. I guess we do sell things when we have sponsors.
Yeah, but it's more a traditional, I don't know. I mean, there is a blur, obviously. But one of the things with this character, I think, is also, we've talked before about things like SponCon and how, you know, people like the Kardashians have gotten fined millions of dollars for not being honest when they are selling you something and not being clear about that they're selling you something and it was sponsored. And so I feel like the wellness industry, as we've talked about, is a very strange place for that, because it's a very like, this will help you. This is good for you and your mental health. But do they know that? Do they have any training?
Right.
Are they just telling you that to sell you something?
Right. And what you get in this specific movie, they did a twist with the Elon masks, which threw me off completely. I was like, wait, what? What's happening? What did they just say? Which was quite a funny take on the entire thing. And with that, we've talked about this before, about the addiction to likes and follows and comments, or going viral, and like that addiction to get that constant feedback, which we hear the ding, 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 ding in the movie. And that's purposeful. And how she uses that. And she actually uses that during the worst parts of like her horrific killing spree to keep her going. So she's not lying when she said, I thought of you. It's literally those dings that pushed her to be like, I got to lie about this. I got to cover this up. I got to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. So especially early on, before she's like killed anyone, if she has these like intense moments where she's being kind of bullied at this dinner or whatever, she'll post something and you'll hear that dinging and she feels better. Like she's relying on it.
Yeah. She literally puts the phone to her heart. Like,
yes. Like it's giving her to absorb like the validation energy. Or like, okay, people love me. See, these people love me, and she can't lose them. Like the fear of losing them is what drives her to be like, okay, I'll push this guy off the cliff.
To continue to kill.
Yeah.
I mean, it drove her to kill Alex because she was afraid of being exposed. So she was like, I'm going to kill you.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
But of course, we also have to talk about the movie tropes with the themes in here. Queer people dying immediately. I'm like, damn it, y'all.
Yep.
I get that you kind of were. It's kind of the whole like sad but true type of thing. Like, at least it centers around, not centers, but at least it has good, healthy queer relationships in here. But then, they gotta die.
Yep. Yep.
Because I loved Emma and Fran's relationship. Oh, well.
Yeah. Too bad.
And I love that it was just normalized. That it wasn't anything big.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it wasn't like, oh, we have to celebrate extra. Like, it's just like, hey, they're great together. Here it is. Of course, we had to have the mistaken identities. Death between Emma and Cecilia, which I thought was interesting. I was like, wow, that's new, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that was It was an unfortunate scene. a lot of it was, though.
Right. All these things. And then we've got the accidental horrific deaths, the bathtub scene. I feel like at least every movie that tries to put themselves on the mark has to have something over the top that's unexpected and different way to die.
Yes. The art of the death scene. I feel like I talked about that on Movie Crush once. But yes, it's absolutely like you've got to have one where I always say listeners because we do podcasting. The viewers are like, well, how is this person going to? I know they're going to die, but how is it going to be unique to all the other deaths that I've seen? And that was pretty horrific.
I mean, like, I expected her to drown her. Mm-hmm. Not that. Not the hair being sucked up.
I'll also say that this has been a big trend in horror movies within the past like 5 years. It's always been around, but I feel like a lot of new movies I've seen of the friend group, it's usually a group, but in this one it was just Cecilia. But a friend group accidentally kills a friend, tries to hide the death because they know it'll ruin their future or whatever. And then they all kind of accidentally die and turn against each other. This was much more just like Cecilia and things rolling out of control.
Right.
But it is interesting to me that that's such a trend in horror movies, the accidental death and then the covering up of the accidental death.
Right. I mean, like, I Remember What You Did Last Summer, mm-hmm. which has that trope. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of like women turning into witches are accidental deaths sometimes that gets covered up, or in between that's how it's discovered. Mm-hmm. Like I feel that happens a lot. But yeah, that is a true thing. And then, of course, we have the mental health, and that's the reason that they became a killer, except they turned that on the head instead of being like, it's not necessarily, because you kind of decide, oh, no, it's not because of mental health. She's just violent. Like, she's just going to do whatever she has to do to remain an influencer and the victim and the main character in her story, which I found interesting, which... We've talked about it not too long ago about the fact that there are more and more studies coming out now because social media and TikTok has become bigger and bigger, that there are now links to possible mental health diagnosis because of the addiction to social media or what you're getting through social media. Of course, this could be the same kind of studies that we had about video games and violence. And it's kind of like, that's more of an excuse and maybe an underlying condition that we need to talk about rather than the cause and effect being the video game. So it could be the same thing about social media, but how it's changing people today. So that could be that kind of conversation as well. So do they become killers because of that? Though we have seen that as more and more of a trope of like social media becoming the reason.
Yeah, that's true. There's a whole genre of usually not very good movies, to be honest, but some of them are good. Like you unfriend somebody on Facebook and then murders.
Right. Or you get a parasocial relationship that becomes a whole different level and that becomes a plot.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there have been what I would call pretty respectable is the word I'm landing on. I don't know if that's quite right. But the studies that I'm like, that has probably got some truth to it where... Especially around women and girls and body image and like finding that kind of, you know, going to get cosmetic surgery because of filters on social media. But I could see it like applying here with her, this image she curated and wanting so badly to protect that image. So it's not necessarily mental health, but the social media didn't help what was already going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think the movie in itself was well done. Mm-hmm. I think it, again, makes you think. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that the writer and director had a lot of cinematic imagination and creativity. Because, again, like the lighting in the house would change from day to night. It was pretty fascinating how they did that. The outdoor scenes versus the indoor scenes. Like, it was very, very interesting. Again, the beginning and end. You know they had that when they started that movie. This is how I wanted to begin and end it.
Yeah.
So, of course, like, and everything else fell in between. But that obviously was a big point to it. I feel like Pink had its very, like, that had its own little plot for a reason. And I felt like Aisha Dee did an amazing job. Apparently, she's a really big actress in Australia and is known. And again, and she did a fantastic job of portraying this like unsympathetic but sympathetic character.
Yeah, she really did. Because like I said, I've spent the first half like, wait, I'm supposed to be sympathetic towards you. And the second half, I was like, oh.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It, like I said, it stuck with me, which I think is the sign of a good horror movie. Mm. It was funny, but I was very disturbed. I left like, oof. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to think about this. Oof. Yeah. Gosh, she's selling that book. Oh.
Yeah, that was quite, I'm like, oh, wow, the book and the rope.
Well, we recommend it if this is your thing. If you like horror movies, I recommend it. But, yes, as always, in the meantime, if you have any recommendations for movies we should do next, please let us know. You can email us at stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok, as Steph will never told you. We do have a Tee Public store with some merchandise, and we have a book, True Story, mostly there. You can get it at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Steph on Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.